Romans chapter 8. We're going to look, in my opinion, if I had to pick one chapter of the Bible that I would say has more impact in meaning for the Christian community, it would be hard-pressed for me to find a chapter that has more impact and meaning than Romans 8. It is power-packed with truth for you and for me. So look at what it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 15. So it moves past forgiveness to adoption. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Saw some images there that were just captured, random images from last week, as a reminder of where we started with the Lord's Prayer, Our Father. That beautiful passage that tells us in Matthew 6, if you'll turn there to Matthew 6, but while you're turning, that beautiful passage that says Our Father, it reminds us that we are no longer slaves to fear. We are now children of God. We've been adopted into his family. When we say Our Father, if you remember what we discussed last week, we are declaring Romans 8:15. Don't turn there. It says this, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Now, if you weren't here last week, I would invite you to go to the website, albertvillefbc.church. Go to the website, watch last week's message or listen to it so that you can be caught up. It's the foundation of the next 5 weeks. Without understanding our Father, I'm not sure the rest of the prayer makes sense. So please go back and check that out. But for today, Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 9. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let's pray. Father God, in this moment, today, my prayer is that this beautiful passage in your word that was given to us would continue to come alive. Last week, as we learned what it means to say, Our Father, that we are your children, that we claim an heir, that we're able to boldly come before the throne room because you have adopted us as sons and daughters, that we can stop and reflect on the fact that it is personal, that we can understand that you are not only personal, today we will see that you are greatly holy, hallowed, to be set apart. Father, I pray you'd speak to us now. Lord, that every word I say would come from you. Father, that we would truthfully be careful as we read your word because it speaks so well for itself. Father, I pray your spirit would move in our hearts. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Almost all commentaries that I have read in preparation for this series mention that the phrase, hallowed be your name, or your translation might say, hallowed be thy name. Almost all translations, almost all commentators agree that this is not a declaration. Now, I don't know about you, but for years as I have studied it and as I have read this prayer, I think of it more as a declaration of simply being saying, God, you're hallowed. But no, we understand this is, in the wording and how it's put together, a petition. It's a prayer request. It's not to just be read or recited as someone declaring God's name is holy, though he is holy. It is more than that. It's a prayer request that God make himself holy in us and in others. Now, that's a little bit different. To hallow the name of the Lord is to sanctify or set apart the Lord in us, to honor or revere him in our lives, to recognize him as holy and pure in us. So when we say, hallowed be your name, we are saying, God, would you make yourself set apart in our lives? It's more than just a name to call him. When we say, hallowed be your name, his name represents his essence, everything of who he is. Psalm 9:10 says this, and those who know your name put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Let me read that again. And those who know your name put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. To know the name of the Lord is to know who he is. So this prayer is asking God to make himself holy and sanctified in us and in others. There are a lot of scripture passages that will give us an idea of what it means to hallow the name of God. One of the best messages, as I kind of review and look at what other people have said over the years, truthfully, was a message preached by John Piper in 1984. And in this message, he gives probably a dozen different scriptures that he uses that talk about what it means to hallow the name of the Lord. But he mentions three that I want to mention specifically. Now, the reason I even tell you his name is I want to be clear. When I'm using someone else's thoughts, I don't want to claim them as my own. I believe they're true and accurate, but I want you to understand with integrity that what I want to read to you from these three thoughts comes from John Piper. The first is Numbers chapter 20. If you want to put your bookmark in Matthew chapter 6 and then flip back to the Old Testament to Numbers chapter 20, I'll set the stage. During the 40 years of wandering in the desert, there was a time when the Israelites didn't have any water. So when they didn't have water, what did they begin to do? What did the Israelites do over and over to Moses and to God? They complained. They began to murmur and complain. Do any of you know anyone who's a complainer? Raise your hand. Don't point to them. Don't point if they're here, but you know some. Some of you would be willing to confess, I am a murmurer. You might be the murmurer yourself. And what I would say to you is the people complain here. But God then tells Moses to speak to a rock. Speak to the rock and then bring forth water for the people. Now picture this. We talked about this a few years ago in our Like a Rock message series, that this was no ordinary rock. That it don't picture a small boulder and Moses says, water come out of that rock, bring forth by the power of the Lord, and a little trickle of water begins to come. Don't picture our fountain out in the atrium, a nice little sound of water trickling. No, no, no. Realize that enough water was going to come out of this rock to feed between 2 and 3 million people. This was a mighty river that was about to begin flowing from this rock. So it has a whole nother level of magnitude. But look at what happens. Moses is angry with the people because they've been complaining. Now, here's another confession time. How many of you have ever gotten angry at a complainer? Raise your hand. Okay, it's true. You might have pulled to Moses. You may have done what he did. In your anger, you may have let it show in a certain way, even when God has told you not to let it show that way. I have been guilty of that myself. And so what Moses does, God tells him to speak to the rock, but instead, in anger, he strikes the rock twice with his staff because he's mad. You ever wanted to pound your fist because you're mad? I'm not going to ask if you've done it, just if you wanted to. And if you've ever wanted to do that, you know exactly what Moses was feeling. But the water comes out, but not only does the water come out, so does God's rebuke towards Moses. It was a big deal that he didn't obey God, that in his anger, he stepped beyond what God said to do. So Numbers chapter 20, verse 12 says this, and the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe in me, to uphold me as holy in the eyes of the people of Israel. Therefore, you shall not bring this assembly into the land that I have given them. This is so bad that God says to Moses, because you didn't believe in me and uphold my name as holy and my word as holy and do what I said, you're not going to be able to carry this group of people into the promised land. It's a big deal. Moses is going to be their leader for close to 40 years, but he's not going to be able to see it to the finish line. Why? Because of his anger, really because of his disobedience. And so look what happens here. When we realize that, he was saying, "You did not believe in me to uphold me as holy," hallowed, to hallow me. "You did not believe in me." These words give us the first answer, really, to the question of what it means to hallow the name of God. It simply means to believe him. To believe God is to hallow his name. The first way that we treat God as holy is to trust what he says. To treat God as holy, trust what he says. Now, with that in mind, you have to stop and ask, when I pray, "Our Father, hallowed be your name," am I living that out? Are my actions backing up my words? Am I trusting him and what he's saying and what he is about? Am I trusting him for that? There are times in my life that I don't. There are times that I believe him for exactly what he's saying, and there are times I tend to think I know a little better myself. And it would not be right for me to say, "Hallowed be your name," in that moment. This is how John Piper words it. He says, when you make, he said, 1 John 5:10 says, "He who does not believe God has made him a liar." When you make somebody a liar, you profane that person's name. This is the opposite of treating the person as holy. Not trusting God is the exact opposite of hallowing his name. The first thing we mean then when we pray for God to cause his name to be hallowed is that we would cause people to believe him, that he would cause people to believe him. "Hallowed be your name" means trusted be your word, God. Can I ask you today, do you trust God at his word? Don't answer with your mouth. Stop and think back in your life over the past few weeks. Examine the decisions you've made maybe over the past month, great or small. Think about those decisions. Do you trust God with his word? Does God's word line up with your way of thinking? Have you been making your own decisions and not doing what he said instead? "Hallowed be your name" is a request that God would cause us to believe him and trust him. Now, the second scripture comes from the book of Isaiah. If you'll turn to Isaiah, if you're in Numbers, just move to the right a little ways. Go right past Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Solomon. Then you're at Isaiah. Go to Isaiah chapter 8, beginning in verse 12. Now, God speaks to Isaiah and warns him, "Do not be like the people of Israel." Now look what it says here in Isaiah 8:12. I hear the pages ruffling. I'll give you a second. Isaiah 8:12, "Do not call conspiracy all that this people call conspiracy, and do not fear what they fear, nor be in dread. But the Lord of hosts, him you shall honor as holy," or "him you shall hallow. Let him be your fear, and let him be your dread." So how do you hallow the name of God according to Isaiah chapter 8? How does it say you make him holy? You do so by not fearing what men fear, but by fearing God. Very practically, this means that when God commands you to take a stand or when God commands you to do something, you say, "I'm not going to fear what man may do to me. I'm going to fear who God is, and I will do what he says instead." And so we can, at some place, get to a place in life where we stop and think, "I want to do the right thing. I believe this is the right thing. But if I do this, there will be a repercussion from this. There will be a financial repercussion. There will be a repercussion with my friends. There might be a repercussion with my faith family. There might be a repercussion at my work." Here's the reality. If God has directed you and you find that it lines up with the word of God, we are to fear him and revere him more than we fear others. And let's be honest, that is not always easy, is it? It would be real easy for me to tell you, just fear God and not man. But the reality is, it is very easy to care what others think. It is very easy to want others to like us. I'll confess to you, I want you to like me. I don't want you to not like me. And some of you are thinking, good luck with that. But the truth is, for the most of you, I hope you do like me. And the truth is, I like you, almost all of you. I looked up when I said it. See, I didn't look down at all. I'm just kidding. I really do. And so the truth is that we want that. That's natural, and it is okay. It is. But when it comes to doing what God has told you to do, what he has led you to do through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the word of God, the truth of God's word, we always need to fear God more than we fear man. We always need to make a decision based off of this is where God is leading, no matter what man may say. Now, it's important that we test that with the word of God, because we can get off on our own ideas a lot of times. But we need to test it with the word of God and make sure that when we pray, hallowed be your name, that we're praying, Father, let your name be feared among believers so much that they'll do what you say first. Father, cause us to have such a high view of who you are that it's a much more dreaded thing to disobey you than to upset somebody else. That's a lot. It's power-packed. Hallowed be your name. His name is made holy and hallowed by the fact that we fear and honor him. The last passage we'll look at, you can go back to the left in your Bible now to the book of Leviticus. Leviticus, it's the third book of the Bible. Leviticus chapter 22, beginning in verse 31. And we'll look together at this passage, Leviticus 22, 31. It says this. So you shall keep my commandments and do them. I am the Lord. And you shall not profane my holy name, that I may be sanctified among the people of Israel. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Now, what is he saying? It's the same concept of hallowing his name, keeping him sanctified, to hallow, to sanctify his name, to keep him holy, the essence of who he is. It says, you shall keep my commandments and you shall do them. When we pray, our Father, hallowed be your name. May you yourself make your name hallowed in us. We are praying, Father, let your name be hallowed. Cause your commandments to be obeyed in my life. To obey his commandments is to hallow the name of the Lord. It is not just to honor him in a worship service. We sang today, holy, holy, holies. And then we added to that, you are Lord, you are Lord. You reign eternally. You are Lord God Almighty, my Savior and my King. I can't think of any better words we could sing today than holy, holy, holy. And that chorus together, it is truth. Without any mixture of error. All of that song is true. He is holy. There's no error in those words. Why? Because they come straight from the idea of the word of God. He is holy and he is to be magnified. He is all of those things. But I can tell you this, to sing holy, holy, holy is not the sum total of how you hallow his name. It is a great reminder of who he is and what he is doing and what he tells us he will do in the future. But to hallow his name goes beyond singing about him. It goes to obeying his commands. So let me sum up what I've said so far. Hallowed be your name is a request. It's not a declaration. We're saying, Lord, cause your name to be hallowed. In other words, cause your words to be believed. Cause yourself to be feared in me and in others. And cause your commandments to be obeyed in my life. If you're writing things down, write this one sentence down. You hallow the name of God when you trust him, revere him, and obey him. That's how you hallow the name of God. It's not through a song, though you can worship him. It's not through a prayer, though you can pray it. You hallow the name of God when you trust him, revere him, and obey him. So can I ask you a few questions? If you're here today, if you're watching online, if you're listening on the radio, do you trust God? Do you really trust him with your future? Do you trust him with your finances? Listen, how do I know if I trust him with your finances? Well, are you obedient to give as he tells you to? Are you faithful to be a part of giving to a local? If you're on the radio, are you a part of some faith family where you're faithfully giving? And are you a part of that, being a part of his kingdom process, learning what we see, the concept of tithes, learning what it means to grace give, learning what it means? Are you faithful with your finances? You making wise decisions with those, or are you out doing everything you can to scrape up and borrow from any place known to man just to get by instead of stopping and asking God to help you do so? Are we faithful? Do we trust him with our finances? Do you trust him with your family? I've seen many times where God has called individuals to a ministry or to missions. And families that love Jesus with all their heart get upset because their son or daughter has taken on a life that is going to be different than the parent expected. I've seen a number of parents who have been bothered by the fact that their children accept a call to missions or a call to ministry in some way instead of the career that they thought would be better for them or more successful for them. Parents, can I tell you, do you trust God with your family? Because what you need to know is your children, yes, they're yours, but you're just the steward. They're really His. Your children belong to God. And no one is off limits in your family or mine. If God calls my children to some life of obscurity in a third world country, I'm going to pray for them and I'm going to say, God, this is your plan. It's your child. I'm just managing and stewarding while I can. If God calls you to do something, if God gives your spouse a unique calling for ministry or something they're supposed to step out and do, I would encourage you to back them, to support them, to pray for them, and to realize that we have to trust God with our family. And then I would say this, do you trust God with the promptings of the Holy Spirit? Let me explain what I mean by that. I'm always a little bit leery, and it happens often that people will show up and say, God told me, and then they'll go from there. That phrase, God told me, is a little bit scary because you have to base that off of, does the person really know God? Are they staying true to His word? Or have they just decided that this is what they know want, so God told them? So that's, to me, a little bit of a scary phrase, though truthfully, I've used it myself from time to time. But you will much more frequently hear me say that the Holy Spirit has prompted me to do something. And what I mean is this, through the power of the Holy Spirit speaking to me to step out, to stop, to back up, that person you just passed, go back and speak to them. Holy Spirit leading, directing that way. What you just did here, don't do that. Don't stop and buy gas at your normal gas station. Go here. I have a reason. The prompting of the Holy Spirit, has He done that for you? I'm sure that has been the case. If you're paying attention, the Holy Spirit will prompt us and guide us and lead us. And I want to encourage you to realize that we have to, part of trusting God, hallowing His name, is listening and trusting the prompting of the Holy Spirit as backed up by the Word of God in your life. Now, it always needs to match up with the Word of God, but you listen to what the Spirit is prompting you to do. I'm thankful, even this week, I've seen two young adult ladies in our church with very different circumstances. Both of them, God prompted them to do something, to take action on a matter. And I get to sometimes be in the background and find out about stuff like that and see how we can help. And it's been a joy to see how God prompted each of them in different ways, two different matters, totally unrelated, prompted them, this is what I'm supposed to do. And He puts that fire in your belly and He puts that thought in your mind and it's a conviction on your heart and it's a passion that He gives you and you can't get away from that and you're not going to be satisfied till you do the thing that God tells you to do. And I've seen them both live that out this week, and what a joy it's been to see how people have responded and what God is doing through that. Now, why do I tell you that? Because it's not special for two young adult ladies. It's for all of us. It's for all of us to be sensitive to what God is speaking to us, what the prompting of the Spirit is saying, what the Word of God is revealing to us. Now, I will tell you that it's hard to hear that, and it's hard to know the truth when you haven't been invested in God's Word. So when we really say, hallowed be your name, one of the greatest things we can do is to say, God, I'm going to trust you, but to trust you, I got to know you better. So God, make me, give me, cause me to be in your Word. Hallow, Lord, hallow your name in me. So my question is, do you trust God? Are you in His Word? Are you listening to what He's saying? Are you responding with obedience to Him? Secondly, hallowed be your name. Do you fear Him or revere Him? Here's a couple of ways to ask yourself questions. Do the opinions of others matter more than the directive from God? If that's the case, you're not hallowing His name. And I would encourage you to say, God, help me. Help me to fear you and revere you more than the opinions of others. Do your actions reveal that you think you know better than God? Mine do sometimes. There are times I tend to think I have a better plan. Now, let me be clear. I never have a better plan than God. Never once have I. But I will sometimes think in my mind that I'm not so sure He's got this right this one time. And, you know, listen, I don't know about you, but those always happen when I'm angry with someone. I never think God's going to discipline them the way that I think He should. I always want to offer a little helping hand. Anybody else understand what I'm saying? But here's what I've learned, that God does have a plan, and he does know what he's doing, and he doesn't need me to help him do that. So we learn to fear him, to let our actions reveal that we believe what he is saying more than what we are saying. And then lastly, hallowed be your name. Do you obey him? I learned as a child, and then we taught our children here a few years back, a simple little phrase about obedience, and some of you will remember it, that obedience is doing what you're told to do, when you're told to do it, with the right heart attitude. Let me say it again. Obedience is doing what you're told to do, when you're told to do it, with the right heart attitude. I'll give you an example. If I tell one of my sons to clean their room, if they sit there for 30 more minutes before they clean it, they were not obeying because they did not do it when they were told to do it. If I ask them to clean their room and they huff and puff and stomp to their room to do it, they're not being obedient. They may have got the job done, but they didn't have the right heart attitude. If I ask them to clean their room and they hop up and say, "Father, I shall be glad to clean it now," and they smile all the way, that's obedience. And it never happens that way. That's how you do it at your house too, right? The same way. Gentlemen, you love to take the trash out. Come on, tell the truth. It's exciting. Wash those dishes. You love it, love it, love it. The truth is, obedience is doing what we're told to do, when we're told to do it, with the right heart attitude. Now, I can give my kids a joking hard time about that, but I have wonderful sons who don't always get it right, sometimes do. But let's talk about me. If obedience is me doing what God's telling me to do, when he's telling me to do it, with the right heart attitude, I'm in trouble sometimes, friends. My attitude is sometimes in need of adjustment. Sometimes I'm delayed in my response because I'm just waiting to see if God will forget it or if the conviction feeling will go away. Sometimes I know when God's telling me, it happened to me this week with one of my children, just had a little disagreement, and I really overreacted in some way, and so I felt the Holy Spirit prompt me, "You need to go back and apologize to your son." I was like, "That ain't gonna happen. If I'm not gonna kill him, but I'm not gonna, you know." And so for what seemed like an eternity was really probably a 30-second discussion that the Holy Spirit and I had about obeying him. And I finally had to apologize to my son and saying, "Here's why I was responding this way," and just tell him. And we had a great conversation. It was very good. There was no, you know, camera for the Hallmark Channel to record it and keep it. There was no none of that. It was just a real moment where God sent me back that I was going to have to go back and say, "Listen, I overreacted there. Here's why, and I want you to know." And then, and we had a very good discussion from that point forward. But I got to tell you, if the Holy Spirit prompts me to apologize to my children, it's not easy. But obedience is doing what you're told to do, when you're told to do it, with the right attitude. The same is true for you. Our Father, hallowed be your name. Do you obey him? Because if not, would you let that be your new prayer now? "Lord, help me to hallow your name in obedience. Help me to do what you tell me to do, when you're telling me to do it." Now, the best way to do that is to have confidence in him. And one of the best ways to have confidence in him is to be reminded of the beautiful names of God that reveal his character and his nature. I made a list Friday as I was finishing up the last touches on today's message, and I just was thinking about hallowed be your name. It's the essence of who he is, that we want him to make himself hallowed in us. And one of the best ways to do that is to be reminded of who he is. And so I began to look at different names for God. Just listen to these and think about who God is in your life. Each of these together tell a story and paint a picture of his holiness, of his essence, of his nature. But I could never give you enough names to truly describe the character of God. There are not enough in existence. That's how incredible he is. But he is Yahweh. He's Lord Jehovah. He is El Elyon, the scripture tells us, the Lord Most High God. He is Adonai, which means Lord and Master. The Bible says he is El Shaddai, the Lord God Almighty that we sang about this morning. He is El Olam, the everlasting God. He will never end, ever, ever, forever. Think about that. He is Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. Every need you've ever had met, it's because God is Jehovah Jireh. Have you stopped to think about that? Did you have breakfast this morning? Thank Jehovah Jireh. Did you eat yesterday? Thank Jehovah Jireh. Did you have a place to sleep last night? Thank Jehovah Jireh. Did you have a vehicle to get here today in? Thank Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. He is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. He not only heals physically, he heals spiritually. He heals mentally. He heals our emotionally. God has brought healing into your life and mine. He is Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is our banner. He raises a banner to remind us of who he is and where he is and that we're going to be okay. He is the Lord, our banner. He is Elkanah. He is a jealous God, meaning that he desires your attention. That is such a glorious thing about who he is, but that's a pretty strong statement about who you are, that he wants your love and affection and deserves it. He is Jehovah Mekadishkim, which means the Lord who sanctifies you. It's the very idea of what we're talking about. Hallowed be your name. That it is God who makes himself holy in us. You are being sanctified not because of anything you've done, but because of who he is. He is Jehovah, the one who sanctifies. He's Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. You've experienced peace in the midst of panic before. You've experienced peace in the midst of trials before. That's only because Jehovah Shalom has brought that to you, because you know him. He is Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. There is no one above him. He is Jehovah Ra, the Lord my shepherd. He's your shepherd. Listen, you're the sheep, and I'm the sheep, and he's the shepherd. He takes good care of his sheep. His sheep know his voice. And he calls us by name. He is Jehovah Ra. He's Jehovah Shekinu, the Lord our righteousness. If there's ever been an ounce of righteousness in you, and there is, it is simply because Jesus is righteous in you. He has done that in your life. You are now righteous because of who he is. He is Jehovah Shema, the Lord is there. What does that mean? There's no way you're going to go that Jehovah Shema is not in existence. He is there. He is in your life. He is at work in your life. And that's names for God. But what about specific names for Jesus? I started my opening prayer by mentioning a few, but let me mention a few more. He is the Almighty One. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's your advocate. He is the author and perfecter of your faith and my faith. He is the bread of life. He's the bridegroom coming for his bride. And we're the bride. He is the deliverer. He is the faithful and true one. He's the good shepherd. He's the great high priest. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. He's the Son of righteousness who's coming with healing in his wings. That's what he is. He is the Lamb of God. He's the light of the world. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is Lord of all. He is your mediator. He is your Messiah. He is your peace. He is the great prophet. He is your redeemer. He is your rock. He's your savior. He is the door. He is the way. He is the word. He is the truth. He is the life. And he is the true vine. He's the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting father, the prince of peace. Jesus is all of these things. Who is he to you? Would you help me? It's time to go, but for just a moment, who is he to you? Who is he to you? What is your favorite name of God? Just with a loud voice, just call out your favorite name of God, who he is in your life. El Shaddai, Lord. Jesus, friend. Our Father, Savior, Redeemer. Who is he? Victory. Who else? Protector. Our shield, our joy. On and on we could go. Friends, hallowed be your name. That is you discovering who he is in your life and honoring his actual name and who he is. But it's so much more. When you say, Our Father, hallowed be your name, would you come to understand that you are praying, God, make yourself holy in me, make yourself holy in others. Make yourself to be revered and feared in me. More than I fear and revere others. Make yourself to be obeyed in my life. May I walk in obedience to you so that I can show you that you are set apart in my life. And help me to know the essence of who you are in all of this. Such little words that give us so much meat to hold on to. Why? Because it talks about his holiness from Genesis to Revelation. You can't miss it in the scripture. There is more there than we could begin to discuss today. But friends, let him be hallowed in your name. Let his name be hallowed in your life today. Would you bow with me? With your heads bowed, just again for privacy. What about you? Do you revere him? Have you been making some decisions based off of what you think ought to happen instead of what is what he's telling you to do? If that's the case, I would invite you to come and just get on your knees for a moment and just repent. No one has to know, just you and God. Maybe for you, though, it's not so much the revering part as it is the obeying part. Maybe for you, you've struggled to be obedient. And maybe that struggle goes back to the first aspect we talked about. It's because of trust. We trust him with our salvation, but we might not trust him with the continuation of our lives. We're going to sing the little song that says, "Only trust him." So my question is, do you trust him? If you want to say, "Hallowed be your name, God, make yourself holy and sanctified in me," you got to trust him. Trust him with his words. Trust him with his directions. Trust him with the promptings of the Spirit. Maybe for you, God's calling you to give your life to him. The first step of trust you need is to follow that. Would you come? Justin will be right down front, near the front. I'll be right here. If you want to give your life to Jesus, we'd love to share with you how that happens. Trust him. Maybe for others, though, you realize that you trusted him for salvation, but you're struggling to trust him with other things. Would you come and pray about that? Someone will probably come alongside you, put a hand on your shoulder, and pray with you. They don't have to know what your prayer need is. They're just going to ask God to continue to do business in your life. Maybe for others, God's calling you to unite with this faith family. We'd love to have you come be an official part of who we are as we seek to be kingdom builders in our community and around the world. We want the kingdom of God to expand. Maybe for you, God's calling you to some form of missions or ministry, and you realize that it's time for you to trust God and step where he's telling you to step. Maybe you want to declare that by letting people know today. Whatever he's saying to you, Father God, please have your way among us today. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing. You can come and pray. You can come and speak to one of us.